Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Burt, and thanks so much for tuning in to our Every Nation channel. Let me start our time together like this. So I don't know what your relationship is like with your spouse, but my wife Susan, she makes me sick, and here's the reason why. She's good at everything she does. And so, when we were early just starting our family off, I just consider ourselves so blessed that Susan, she was able to stay home and care and raise our children. And so I'm grateful to God for that we were able to do that. I know not everybody gets to do that. And but here's the thing, after our kids were grown up, then it was like, hey, she's got all this time on her hand, and she's like, I need to do something. And so she went and picked up a part-time job just at a retail store. And so she was there, but just like my wife, she's so good at her job that before you know it, she's promoted to store manager, okay? And I remember the first time, like, she was so excited. She was getting her first performance review, and she was telling me about it. And she says, oh, they sat me down, you know, with my boss, and then she says, you do this great, you do this great, and you do this great. And so I could see her just so full of, you know, just joy over that. And then she goes, and then she told me, these are my opportunities. And then my opportunity is here, here, and here. And I'm like, oh, opportunities, you know, I was like, what? Oh, you mean you don't do these things very well. And so I tell you, I was like, baby girl, I'm ripping that one off. I'm going to use that to my staff whenever they need to work on something. Here are your opportunities, right? It sounds a lot better than you really stink at this. So listen, as we're closing out 2024 and entering in to 2025, what a great opportunity to figure out what are our opportunities for 2025. Like, what are some areas that you can improve in your life? And so here's my hope for today's message, is that you would take a spiritual inventory of your life and ask yourself the question, how am I going to be spiritually better in 2025? And so in our text today, we're going to be in Luke chapter 3, and in it, we're going to hear from John the Baptist. So if you don't know who John the Baptist is, I would say this, he's the Simon Cowell of prophets, right? You guys remember American Idol? Do you know that thing is still on? It needs to go home and be with the Lord. But if you remember the original, where we had the three judges, you had Simon Cowell and Paula Abdul and Randy Jackson. But you know, the reality was this. No one gave a rip what Paula or Randy had to say. What they cared about was who? Simon Cowell. Because this dude was just brutally honest. But you know, you could trust what he was saying. And John the Baptist is that guy. Man, he is brutally honest, and he's going to challenge us today. He's going to actually invite us to make a way for the king. So in the first century, what would happen is kings and dignitaries, when they'd ride into a city, the city officials would go out and they would prepare the roadway so their chariots could have a nice smooth ride into the city. And my hope is, as we take spiritual inventory, we'll make a path for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so our text will begin in Luke chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. It says this, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And so I think we can apply this text to our own life, to do the spiritual inventory. And so if you're a point taker, let me give you a point number one is this. Your life prepares the way for people to know the King. Your life prepares the way for people to know the King. And so I'll illustrate this way. So back when I was playing for the Hartford Whalers in the National Hockey League, we had a West Coast swing, and we were playing in Calgary, Alberta, and we won. And then the coach gave us a couple days off in a resort town called Banff. And so we were just kind of there in Banff, and me and all my teammates, we went to this local pub, and it was there. So there was two Jesus guys on our team. There was me and another, and I'm going to use air quotes, Jesus guy, all right? And so what, you know, I'm in the bar here with my Diet Coke, you know, loser, that type of thing. And all my teammates are around. And then there's this skirmish, and one of my teammates grabbed me and he says, Ads, you've got to come here. You've got to come to the bar and see this. And so there at the bar was this other Christian guy. He had a massive pitcher of beer and all these bills stacked up on the side of him. And so what had happened, he bet a whole group of people that he could chug this pitcher of beer in under 15 seconds. Timer went off, boom, he slammed this thing back. I'm not gonna lie, it was pretty impressive, man. but my teammates immediately looked at me and they're like, hey, Ads, is this allowed? I grabbed my Bible real quick and I was like, no, it's not allowed. It's impressive, but not allowed, okay? And so here's what my teammate didn't understand. You're a missionary, whether you realize it or not. You're a missionary, and see, other people are watching your life, and are you making a path for people to meet the King? In the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 26 to 27, it says this, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined the allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. And so what we see here is, man, the author of Acts is letting us know God determines where you live, when you live, what you do. Why? Because he's placed you there as a missionary that perhaps some people might meet the King through your life. And so your life tells a story. And so what is that story it's telling? I've told this story multiple occasions, but we'll do it again. So Josh McDowell, he's a Christian apologist. He defends the faith, right? He wrote an enormous book called The Evidence That Demands a Verdict. But in it, before he was an author, he actually his testimony is very kind of unique. He grew up in rural Michigan, and his father was the town drunk. And so what happened, he was a violent drunk, and he would on multiple occasions beat his wife. So Josh's mom, one time he came home to the barn and found his mother knocked out cold, face down in a pile of manure. And he says that day as a young boy, he determined in his heart, I'm going to grow up, go to college, and then I'm going to come home and I'm going to kill my old man. And so that was his game plan for his life. But God had other plans, because he did indeed go off to college. And it was there in college where he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and he became born again. And God started to change Josh's heart, replaced hate with love. In fact, he went back to visit his father, who was being hospitalized, and he went there, and he just told his dad. He says, Dad, I want you to know something. I love you. And his dad was just taken back, flabbergasted by it. And he's like, how can you love a man like me? And he says, Dad, I don't know. I just do. I became a Christian, and Jesus has given me love for you. And he was so taken back that he said, Son, if Jesus can do that for you, I want the same for me. And there he prayed the prayer of faith. And the town drunk, he became the town evangelist, leading hundreds of people to Jesus. And so you need to know this. Your life, it tells a story. And so what happened, Josh McDowell's dad, he saw a transformation in his son, and it was attractive to him. Let me read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. Paul says, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So the big idea is Paul's saying this, that you are a letter written by God and read by men. And so what story are you telling with your life? So I promise you this, man, there's going to be so many people in your life that they'll never read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, but they will read your life. Are you preparing a path for people to meet with the King? Let's look at point number two is this. He says, man, that the low places shall be filled again. And so what has gotten low in your life that needs to be refilled? What's gotten low in your life that needs to be filled? Remember, we're taking a spiritual inventory today. And so there's a guy, Saint Irenaeus, and he has this quote that I think is so true. He says this, that the glory of God is man fully alive. Like when you are fully you, God is most glorified. But here's the problem is many of us, we allow things to lack and wane in our life. And when you do that, you become a lesser version of yourself and you don't reflect the glory of God to the degree that you should. So let me, I'll share the story of Gary Powers. I thought it was so fascinating. Like this guy, Gary Powers, he was actually like a modern day, like Maverick, like Top Gun Maverick. This guy flew U-2 spy planes for the U.S. Air Force. And in fact, he was shot down over Russia. He was captured. It became a POW and was there through a prisoner exchange that he made at home again. And then what did he do? He spent his time flying experimental aircraft on behalf of the United States Air Force, like all these challenging technical things. And then eventually he retired from the Air Force and he just got a job as a helicopter pilot for a local newscast. And then the unexpected happened. Unbelievably, he survived all these different things. And then as he's on the job as a newscast helicopter, his helicopter crashed. You know how? He ran out of gas. Do you believe that? I mean, all the things this guy survived, except he didn't pay attention to the most basic thing, and it cost him his life. He ran out of gas. And so what are some areas in your life that are getting too low, man? Like we want to take a spiritual inventory. Do you know that Elijah, he's one of the greatest prophets in your Old Testament. And Elijah, there came a moment where he ran out of gas and it almost cost him everything. So in 1 Kings chapter 18, man, he's on a spiritual high. He actually, the nation was in bondage. Ahab and Jezebel were leading people into idolatry. The prophets of Baal were there. And so God's people were oppressed. And so Elijah challenged the 450 prophets of Baal to a duel, if you will, up on Mount Carmel. And so there was the 450 prophets. They were trying to call down fire from Baal. Nothing. And then Elijah got down, man, and he prayed and made his appeal to Yahweh, the God of gods. And there, what he rained down fire. And with that, Elijah said, now let's kill all these prophets of Baal. And so they do that. And then it hadn't rained in 3 years in the nation. And Elijah, he fell on his face and he cried out to God. And God brought down rain. And so you see all these mighty things. But here's what's crazy. That's in 1 Kings 18. You flip one page over in 1 Kings chapter 19. And Elijah's world is on fire. Jezebel threatens to take his life. And it sends him on this downward spiral of despair. He's trying to get out of the land. There he prays this prayer that I know I've prayed before in my life. God, just kill me. Just kill me. And here's what's interesting. God sends the angel of the Lord to Elijah, and here's what he does. He doesn't give him a Bible verse, a prayer. Here's what he tells him. He says, you need to take a nap and eat some food. And then he woke up again, and then he says, you need to take another nap and eat some more food. And with that, it gave him strength. It gave him renewed perspective. And then just a few short verses later, he was able to hear the still small voice of the Lord. And so here's what I need you to see, man. What has gotten low in your life? What are some areas in your life that you're letting slip away and it's affecting your ability to be an image bearer of God? So is it prayer? Is it maybe your time in the Word of God? For some of you, you know what you need? You need to take a nap. So just to shoot you straight, like I'm supposed to be the holy, nice, sweet pastor guy. Listen, when I don't get like 7 to 8 hours of sleep, man, just the worst parts of me start to manifest. And I'm not a glory bearer of the image of God very well. Here's what else I know. I have to win the morning. Like if I can win the first hour of my day and give it to the Lord in prayer and in time in His Word, man, I'm going to win the day. But I let that stuff slide or get low in my life, man, I'm going to lose the day, all right? And so what do you need? What are some areas of your life that have gotten low that in 2025, man, we need to fill these areas up? Let me give you point number three is this. So conversely, so we did what's gotten low in your life. Now, what's gotten too high in your life and needs to be brought low again, right? What's gotten too high in your life and needs to get low again? So Do you know, like throughout, if you pay attention in your Bible, there's all these various names for God. There's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our great and glorious provider. There's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our great healer, right? And then, but I don't know if you've been familiar with this name. How many of you heard of the name Jehovah Jealous? Because God, he reveals himself as a jealous God, and it's an amazing thing. Let me read to you Exodus 34 and verse 14. It says this, "For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." And so you need to know this. God is jealous for you. Man, he doesn't want to share your heart and your affection with anybody. And so there's a guy, John Calvin, he said this, that the human heart is a perpetual idol factory. That the human heart, it's a perpetual idol factory. That here's what happens, man. We constantly, Jesus is supposed to sit on the throne of our life, and yet all these other things vie for our affection, our attention. In fact, you remember the story of Moses and the golden calf? Like God uses Moses to deliver his people out of Egyptian slavery. Man, 10 plagues, walks through the Red Sea, and then they get into the wilderness. And what happens? Moses goes up on Mount Sinai to get the commandments of God. And what happens? He spends too long up there. And so the people go, well, we don't know what happened to that guy. Let's make another God. And so they have Aaron build this God, a golden calf. And there the people worship and riotous living. Moses comes down. He sees the idolatry, loses his mind. Smashes the tablets and kind of rebukes the people, and then he has them do something that seems quite odd. They burnt down the golden calf until it became this chaff of dust, and he says he put it in water, and then he made the idolatrous people drink the water. Isn't that odd? But here's what you need to know: the backstory is, you know, in Numbers chapter 5. If there was a husband who believed that his wife was sleeping around on him, but he couldn't prove it, he would have his wife go to the priest. And there in the tabernacle, he would take water and scoop up the dust of the tabernacle and put it in the drink and have the woman drink it. And if she had committed adultery, she would swell up and grow ill. So do you see what God is doing here? He's letting his people know, you've had other gods beside me. It's idolatry. It's spiritual adultery before the Lord. It would be like me. It's like, it's not right or okay for my wife to date around other guys. Why? Because she's been betrothed to me. She's my wife. And in the same way, man, when you receive Jesus Christ, you've made a covenant bond. God has bound himself to you and you alone. You have this unique relationship with Almighty God. And to let somebody else sit on the throne of your life, it's spiritual adultery, man. And so we got to guard our hearts against that. And here's the reality. Do you know when Jesus is ultimate in your life, when he's sitting on the throne of your life, you know you're the best version of you can possibly be? Like when we have these other gods that we allow to become ultimate in our heart, we just become knockoff versions of the man or woman that God's created us to be. So my family, we used to live in Manhattan, and so occasionally we'd go down to Canal Street. I'm not sure if you've been down there, but what they have is they have all these shops, and they have all these knockoffs of these high-end brands of things. And so, man, we'd be leaving with fake Louis Vuitton purses, and man, I'd get like the fake Rolex watch and all that kind of stuff. And here's the reality. Man, it looked good, but here's what really happened. They were unreliable. Undependable. They were fragile and they broke immediately. And that's you when you allow other gods to sit at the center of your life. You were made for Jesus Christ to rule and reign in your life. And when he's sitting on the throne of your life, you are the absolute best version of you can possibly be. You're the best, you'll be the best husband or the best wife you can be when Jesus is on the throne. You'll be the best mother or father when Jesus is on the throne of your life. You'll be the best friend, the best employee you can possibly be. Why? Because Jesus is in his rightful place, sitting central in your life. Let's look at number four. Is this. So now, what is crooked in your life that needs to be made straight, right? The crooked places are to be made straight if we're going to make a path for the king. And so I've made it no secret. I'm not the fix-it guy. I really wish I was. I do have YouTube, and so that's been God's common grace to me. But so my wife will ask me to kind of do things around the house sometimes. So she wanted me to hang some shelves in my daughter's room. And so for me, it's like a big project. But man, I did that thing, and I nailed it, man. I was like, that looks good. And so I'm so proud to show my wife. My wife looks at it, and she's like, babe, those shelves are crooked. And I'm like, woman, what are you talking about, right? And then we go over, and so I'm not sure if you've heard of this, but they have a thing called the level. And the level, it determines what's crooked and what's straight. And I put the level on that thing, and it was like, right? I was like, ah, dang it, she's right. And here's what you need to know, man. The Bible, the Word of God, it's the level for our life. Determine what areas in your life are crooked, and what areas are straight. And so the level gets to call the shot. And so and here's what I'm afraid of, man, as a pastor and just someone who's walked with the Lord for a while. I see so many people that are just content with being close enough, right? That they live their life, we're like, I'm good enough. But listen, to be just a little bit off is to be off, man. It's wrong, and it'll take you places that you don't want to go. And so, man, don't be content with just being a little bit crooked in your life. I mean, you want to be straight and narrow to the glory of God and the good of the world, because just a little bit off is off. So, man, I read this story about Korean airline flight 007 that when it left Korea, it actually the computer was off a little bit. It was off 1.5 degrees, and so that's minute and minuscule. But what happens is little by little, man, that 1.5, it takes you further and further and further off course till the 747 found itself accidentally in Russian airspace. The Russians, they scrambled their fighter jets and they blew that thing out of the sky, killing everybody. And so, man, there's just that 1.5 degree. Doesn't sound like much, but what happens, man, over time, that's going to take you so far off course, places you never thought you'd be. And so you realize this, that addiction, you don't just become an addict. It starts with a sip, with a hit, with a puff. You know, porn addicts, they don't start off in addiction. It's just a look. It's just a little peek here and a little peek there. And so there's things, man, little things that if you compromise in your life, at the end of your life, man, it'll cost you more than you ever thought it would. But you know, just the converse of that is true as well. That as we little by little, we make these subtle changes, these moves towards Jesus in our life, man, they have unbelievably huge benefits if you're faithful and consistent with little things. Let me read to you what it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says this, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image," here it is, "from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." And so little by little, here's what we see as we're faithful, taking spiritual inventory of our life, man, we become more and more transformed and conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And so the Word of God, it is the level for your life, and it's designed to lead you into human flourishing. So I know sometimes we get this convoluted thing where we think, man, God, the God's commands, he just doesn't want me to have fun or anything like that. Do any of you have young children? Like if you do, you'll amen me on this. Like young children, they have a death wish. They just do. Moms and dads, you know it. Like when you have a kid, you have to like cover up and block all the electrical outlets. Why? Because your kid's going to jam something inside of there and electrocute themselves to death. That you have to like lock your cupboards all of a sudden because your kid's going to think a Tide Pod is delicious, you know, and so he's going to do that. Or how many moms and dads, when your kid starts crawling a little bit, what does that kid do? Man, it's like tractor beams right to the nearest stairs. And so you got to do these kiddie jail bars. You put them on the stairways and stuff like that. And they just feel like that they're in prison. Like you don't want them to have fun. No, dum-dum. He's trying to save you from you. And isn't that our story? Man, that the Word of God, they're not prison bars like trying to keep us from having a good time. What they are is they're guardrails to protect you from you, right? It's God's love for us. In fact, do you know that they had that David, King David, that he had this revelation in Psalm 16:6. He says this. He says, "Man, that the boundaries that you have set for me, they've fallen in pleasant places." That he had this revelation, man, that God's words, these guardrails that he has for me, they're leading me into safety, security, and flourishing, to pleasant places, right? And so so what are some crooked areas in your life that God's putting his finger on and saying, I need you to make those ways straight, right? And then here's number five is this. What are rough areas of your life that need to be made smooth? What are the rough areas of your life that need to be made smooth in 2025? And so it's been my experience that God will allow sandpaper people in your life to grate on you, to rub on you. It has little to do with them and everything to do with you, that God is smoothing out the rough places of your life. So I'm not proud of this moment, but do you know, I used to work in Manhattan at our church there, and my wife and I were commuting home, and we're just stuck in Lincoln Tunnel traffic. It's just never ending and kind of stop, go. And there was one guy that was really, he was trying to cut my wife off. She was driving, and then I kind of look over to him. He looks at me, and he tells me I'm number one, if you know what I'm talking about. He gives me the bird, and then we got a red light, and he kept going. And I'm like, oh my, and I was just fuming in the car, if Christians did such things. And I'm fuming, and then what happens is his light turned red and ours turned green. And we pulled up right beside this guy. I got out of the car, knocked on the window of this guy, "You, Mr. Finger Pointer, get out of the car." And he looked at me and he's like, no. And then it just occurred to me, hey, dum-dum. Moron, I just set myself up for a lose-lose situation. Like two scenarios take place here. Number one, he gets out of the car and I beat the mess out of him. You know what? Congratulations, pastor. Assault and battery, right? Well done. And or the other scenario is he gets out and he beats me up, which is not that much better, okay? And so it was a lose-lose scenario. And what happened? God used the finger pointer to kind of help just smooth out some rough areas of my life. You know, there's been other people in my life. A lot of my coaches, man, they were really hard on me. And those guys, it grated on me. I just like, man, why is he always like driving me and this stuff? And then you know what? Then so much later in life, I'm so grateful that God used them to kind of smooth out, man, to add some things to my life. Got to put sandpaper people in your life. Do you know what? I've also noticed that there's been sandpaper circumstances. Like there's been moments in my life that God's allowed, not because he was judging me or wanting to harm or hurt me, but in the end, he was smoothing out some things in my life. It's sandpaper circumstances. So, I mean, I've shared this one before, but man, I'm playing in the NHL, I'm leading Bible studies and doing stuff. And then I was the guy who had to have 3 back surgeries in 1 year and was forced to retire while like a teammate of mine was sleeping around on his wife and he got a contract extension. And I was this mixture of being confused and just so furious at God. I'm like, what in the world? I'm doing all this stuff for you, Lord. And this is what happens to me. It was a sandpaper circumstance, man. But you know, as now I look back on those moments, and man, God was smoothing out some things in my life. I don't believe God gave me, you know, an infection in my back, but he did allow me to walk through it. Why? Because he was smoothing out some things. And after that moment, you know what? There was a gratitude that was stirred in my heart. Here's what I realized, that health is not a right. It's a gift from Almighty God. And I've learned now each and every day that I can walk or move. I'm so grateful to God for that. You know what else? It stirred in me an empathy and a sympathy to those people that are hurting or maybe sick or unhealthy. It gave me a heart for them when before I was just kind of like, it sucks to be you. But God was able to smooth out the rough areas through sandpaper circumstances. And so what are some rough areas in your life, man, that need to be made smooth in 2025? So let me end our time with this. So there is, many of you are familiar with Leonardo da Vinci's epic painting of the Last Supper. Jesus is center and all the disciples are seated at the table. And you know, da Vinci, it took him several years to paint this memorable painting. And so he began with Jesus, the centerpiece. And so he had to look and find models that he could paint in order to do it. It wasn't like you could just Google something back then. And so he got his model and he found somebody with just a perfect face of purity, like a face of an angel. His name was Pietro Bandinelli. And then da Vinci, he painted Bandinelli and he became his Jesus. And then he went and he was looking for people that would be his Peter and someone would be, his John and James. And he got all the way down to the last disciple, and it was his Judas. He had to find somebody that looked kind of evil, had that eye of a betrayer, a cold, dark heart. And as he looked, he couldn't find anybody to fit that description. And so he actually had to put his paintings down for quite some time. And then after a number of years, he was walking down an alleyway and he saw his Judas. It was this man with cold, dark eyes peering at da Vinci. It made the hair stand up on the back of his neck. And so he asked if he could paint him and brought him back to his studio. And he started painting this man as he peered at him across the room. And then the man finally spoke. He says, "Leonardo, you don't remember me, do you? It is I, Pietro Bandinelli." See, just, man, a few years prior, he had the face of an angel. And what happened over those next couple years that he would have the face of Judas, the betrayer, man, that the devil himself was in his heart? What happened? Just a few little decisions here and there. And over time, it'll take you places you don't want to go. And so what a great opportunity we have to take a spiritual inventory as we head into a new year. And I got news for you. God has got a great plan for your life. And you're going to walk it out and you're going to win in 2025 in Jesus' name. Let's pray. And so, Lord, God, I thank you for this time that we could spend together. Oh, and Lord, I pray that you would convince and arrest. God, that you would put your finger on areas of our life. God, Lord, for our good and the good of the world, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would show us areas, crooked places that need to be made straight. Lord, what are some places that are low that need to be filled back up? Lord, what are some places that are just too high in our life that need to be made low again? And so, Father, we trust you for all of these things, Lord, that you're going to do it in 2025 for our good and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.